Before we sing our first song, a couple of things. Our service will be a little bit different this morning. Brenda asked, are we going to sing three songs? I said, at least three songs. That's the song we're starting with and the songs we'll end with. There are more songs that we will be singing this morning. I want us to think as we sing and as I read some scriptures this morning about heaven. It is a place that we long to be. It is a place that we have desire for. Brother Bill read for us from 2 Corinthians, Paul's statements there about us just being here for a moment, a momentary time, and that we look to the things that are unseen, those things that are eternal. About 5 or 7 years later, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian brethren while he was in prison in Rome. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 24, he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake." Our first song, "Here We Are But Straying Pilgrims," emphasizes this idea that we're just here for a temporary time. This is not where we belong. This is where we are journeying through so we can get home. And we want to sing all three verses of this song. Number 213, "Here We Are But Straying Pilgrims." Here we are but straying pilgrims, here our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say, yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know, yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes.
Philippians is not the only place that we read about this idea of us being here temporarily and having a desire to go and be somewhere else. The Hebrew writer writes in Hebrews chapter 11 of those of faith. He talks about Abraham and Noah, and in particular, as he's talking or leading up to talking about Abraham in verse 13 through 16, he said, "All these died in faith without receiving the promises. But having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they're seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they've been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. If Abraham was looking for a place here on earth, he had plenty of opportunity to reach it. Abraham was reaching for something greater. As Paul said, he was looking at the unseen, the eternal, because he recognized, as James renders in James chapter 4 and verse 14, our life is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Because of that, Abraham's actions were pointed toward heaven, and we need to do the same. Our lives ought to be focused not upon the here and now, but upon the hereafter. That's the message of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 beginning. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the very reason Paul gave the instruction to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And beginning in verse 17, as for the rich in this present age, he said, charge them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They're to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, to be ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Note that. These people who had this world's goods, and even those who do not have a lot of this world's goods, focus needs to be on that which is truly life, which is not here and now, but is in eternity with God. It's in heaven. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we ought to conduct ourselves as aliens and strangers. He said, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We need to keep ourselves separate from the alien things of this world. We don't necessarily think about them as being alien, because we're so familiar with them. But if our hope and our focus is set on heaven and things that are eternal, it helps us to get this idea in our mind that the things here in this life are alien to us. We don't belong here. We belong in heaven. One of the problems with doing a lesson like this and looking at songs that talk about heaven is getting rid of some songs. When you start looking through our book has lots of songs that talk about heaven. And I think there's reason for that, because we need that refreshing of those ideas to keep our minds focused on. But first time I did a lesson like this on this topic, I think I had about 14 or 15 songs. I don't have that many this morning. What we're going to sing is on the board here. If you would turn your song books to number 208. Number 208. Because here's one of those songs that helps us keep our focus on what heaven is about. Helps us see the things that are desirous about heaven. All three verses of number 208. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the cause that by me it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing soul. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me finally dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk alone.
Dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone, in a fairer region among the angel throng. They are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me finally dream of its golden glories, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven tenderly and low, till the shadows for me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me only dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all.
If you would turn to number 203. Number 203, Above the Bright Blue. Once again, all three verses.
There's a beautiful place on heaven, it is hidden above the bright blue, where the good who from earth has arisen, where the love and eternity through, above the bright blue, the beautiful blue. Jesus is waiting for me and for you. Heaven is there, not far from our sight. Beautiful city of light. This land of sweet rest awaits us. Someday it will break on our view. 'Tis promised by Christ the Redeemer to His followers faithful and true. Above the bright blue, the beautiful blue, Jesus is waiting for me and for you. Heaven is there, not far from our sight. Beautiful city of light. We know not when He shall call us, whether soon the glad summons shall be. But we know when we pass o'er the river, the glory of Jesus we'll see. Above the bright blue, the beautiful blue, Jesus is waiting for me and for you. Heaven is there, not far from our sight. Beautiful city of light.
These songs put thoughts in our mind. They give us an image of heaven. They give us longing for heaven, desire to be there. It sounds like a place we want to be. And I think that's one of the reasons we need to keep songs like this in our mind, as well as passages of Scripture that emphasize these things. One passage, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the brethren in Thessalonica, said, I'm going to write this to encourage you. Take note as we get to the latter part of what we're going to read here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. Paul begins with, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. They were having a problem. There was folks talking about the fact that there may be some who died that weren't going to go to heaven. It was giving them some difficulty. And they were struggling with it. But Paul says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Do you get the import of what Paul is saying there? He's telling these brethren in Thessalonica, comfort yourselves with the knowledge that you're going to die. But not just that you're going to die, but you're going to be raised. And when you are raised, you will be brought into the presence of the Lord forever. These thoughts and songs of heaven, these things that put our focus on the eternal, on the things that are not seen, are benefit and strengthening to us as we go through our lives here upon this earth. It's what kept Abraham going on his journey, helped him remain faithful, knowing that when he passed through this life, he would be with God for all eternity. It's what kept Paul going on his journeys, and it will keep us, as Paul encouraged the Thessalonian brethren, to allow it to keep them. When Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are going to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed with burning and the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This passage from the Apostle Peter introduces another aspect, something we've already touched on a little bit. We're here in a temporary manner. We're not going to remain. But Peter emphasizes the fact that none of this world will continue. Anything that we hold on to in this life is going to be burnt up. Even if we were to remain alive until the Lord returns, when He returns, everything here will be gone. Even our bodies, as they are here on this earth, will be destroyed. For we will be given new. Contrast that with heaven, a new heaven and a new earth where perfection dwells, where there is no fading, where there is no difficulty or struggle, and where nothing, nothing will ever fade away. And we have songs like number 199, Where the Roses Never Fade, that emphasize this particular idea to us. All three verses, Where the Roses Never Fade.
I am going to a city where the streets will
Difficulties and struggles we have in this life. And it sounds so much greater to be putting our focus on heaven. Certainly when we sing songs such as this, the passage in Revelation chapter 21 comes to mind, as we see there a part of the description that John preserves for us in his writings as he saw the many visions that were given to the first century church to give them encouragement and strengthening. In Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne says, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true." And later on in that same chapter, beginning in verse 22, John describes that he saw no temple in it, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed. They will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination and lying, shall ever come into it, but only those names whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here again, in this chapter, we have that image of perfection, that image of a desirable place. Not just because of its great glory, but because that's where God lives. As we think about God being in the midst, let us consider the statements that were made about God and the tabernacle to the Israelites and how that would be His dwelling place. And when God was in the tabernacle, He was in the midst of the children of Israel. They were with Him, as close to God as man had ever been. And when the temple was built, His glory filled the temple in Jerusalem, and it was the place where God dwelt. And if they wanted to be near God, they came to that place. And that's the best we can do here on this earth. As we talked about in our Bible class this morning, when we come together for our worship assembly, such as we are this morning, that's bringing us into the presence of God. That's as close as we can get to God here on this earth. But in heaven, we will be with Him always. Be no death and decay. Nothing falling apart. Nothing giving us trouble. For we will be in the light of God, and there will be no darkness at all. How would you like for that to be your home? Wouldn't you like for that to be the place where you live? That's the image we have in the next songs that we want to consider. Number 198, the same opening, An Empty Mansion. All three verses.
Here I labor and toil as I look for a home, just an humble abode among men. While in heaven a mansion is waiting for me, and a gentle voice pleading, there's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. At the end of my struggle, some way, and I know that the Savior will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday. Ever thankful am I that my Savior and Lord from the sun to the weary sweet rest. Nothing more could I ask than a mansion above, where to live with the saint and the blessed. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. At the end of my trouble, some way. And I know that the Savior will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion.
That comes to us from John chapter 14 and the King James Version, where it's translated mansions there. In John chapter 14 and verse 1 through 3, Jesus tells his apostles, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places," or mansions as the old King James renders it. "If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And as we read this passage, we keep in mind Jesus is talking to his apostles particularly there, and so that particular promise may be to them, but there's other passages that remind us that this is our promise as well, that God has prepared a place for us. Notice in Matthew chapter 25, as Jesus gives the vision of the judgment scene, just before he does that, though, we have the story of the master giving his servants the responsibilities in the parable of the talents. And we read in verse 23, "The master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" The promise given to this faithful servant was to enter into the joy of the master. And we read down later in that chapter, in verse 34, the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." God has a place for us.
That place has been set aside, particularly for those who choose to serve the Lord. It is our home. Will it be mansions over the hilltop? Is there a great big 500-room house sitting there waiting for me to live in? I seriously doubt it. But those are some images that give us a glimpse of the glory of heaven, like John gives us in the book of Revelation when he talks about the walls of the various emeralds and precious stones. Jewels, that's the word I was looking for, not emeralds. Explains it with a splendor. You know, when I think about heaven, and the reason the title up there is I Long for Heaven, it's this idea of a place that's been waiting and ready for me. I can come home to be with my Father, to be with the Creator. This journey through this life is, I hesitate to call it a vacation. It is a journey. It is a struggle. It gives us problems and difficulties each and every day. But if we faithfully serve the Lord while we walk here upon this earth, we can be at home with Him for all eternity. We will enter into the joy of our Lord. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, there's a passage elsewhere in Peter's letter that talks about how if the righteous are scarcely saved, where do the ungodly appear? And sometimes we get that idea that we're just barely going to get into heaven because we're weak and frail creatures. But the Apostle Peter here tells us that if we are diligent in serving God, if we do His will faithfully, there's a rich entrance awaiting us, a welcome home. We go back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and pick up in verse 14. "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, the new heaven and the new earth, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you also in all his letters." Let's drop down just a little bit. "You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and in the day of eternity. Amen." The back cover will be our song of encouragement this morning. If you look at your life and you recognize that you've been striving for here rather than for heaven, you need to change your perspective. You need to see heaven as your home and here is just a temporary place where we are just as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Just a momentary time, awaiting eternity. And the only way that we can be at home with the Lord is to live for Him here, to devote ourselves wholly to serving Him and His will, to confess our belief in Jesus as the Savior and the sacrifice for our sins, to admit that to our brethren and to the people around us and to God, to actually live that in our life is the instruction we're given in Scripture. But we are to confess it, Paul tells us, as he speaks to the Roman brethren, by our mouth. Confess our belief in Jesus. And in doing so, we acknowledge that He is the only way to get back home. And so we turn ourselves from following the ways of the world to seeking after the ways of Christ and the teachings of God. Turning ourselves in repentance, we get rid of the sin in our life and we come believing and accepting the Savior, we can be buried in baptism and have those sins washed away, just as Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, just as Paul heard from Ananias, arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then it is left up to us to live in accordance, to walk that journey with Christ, to walk like a Christian, to conduct ourselves in accordance with the will of God. And if we stray from that as His children, God urges us to confess our sins to Him. John tells us that if we will confess our sins to God, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And we have Jesus Christ, our advocate, will go to God on our behalf. The word is clear. If we want to be home with God, we must live for Him here in accordance with His will. And if this morning we can help you to get your life on the pathway to heaven, get you focused on God and home in heaven, we urge you to come while we stand and sing all three verses of "There's a Home" as a means of encouragement. There's a home above in the land of love that I hope to reach someday. If in Christ we trust, He is faithful, just, and will keep us all the way. There's a home. Shall be ours through grace so true. There's a home bright and fair, fashioned by the hand divine. When is past earthly care, may an interest there be mine. And the loved ones gone before, there's a home bright and fair, fashioned by the heavenly fire. When it's past earthly care, may an entrance there be.